And good morning, Athens First.
Good morning.
It is a joy to see all of you here on this first Sunday after Easter Sunday. The Lord is still risen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it is a joy to have all of you here worshiping with us. As I learned in seminary, a single day cannot contain the glory and the meaning of the resurrection. And so we just keep right on celebrating. And I'm glad you're here to be able to celebrate with us on this day. And so as we continue in that celebration, I invite you to hear these words of scripture from the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verses 3 through 4. Hear these words of scripture. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnants of the house of Israel who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, when I became a mom, and it has been a few years now, but when I became a mom, I loved every age that my children went through. There really wasn't a bad one, and I mean that. Now, obviously, there were a few bad behaviors along the way, but I think that could be said of just about anybody. But there really wasn't a bad age. I never thought that my kids went through terrible twos or the terrifying teen years. I really just loved every age, every stage, every birthday. And now my kids would change, of course, and I won't lie, I might have gotten just a little bit wistful. When they left one stage and began to enter another, when those cute, chubby baby legs strengthened and lengthened to become toddlers and children's limbs, when crawling became walking and then running, and when toddlers grew into school children who then grew into teenagers, I guess it's a bit natural to be nostalgic about those changes, about that progression. But then I always thought that it was all good, that every stage had a magic and an excitement of its own with all of the new discoveries and all of the new adventures, that every age was a great one. And to be honest, I have thought that about my own life too, as I have grown up even further. For me, the real surprise of growing up came at year 22, just 1 year past that magic moment of legal adulthood in every state, when I found that year later that life didn't stop just because I had reached that goal, that it just kept on going and going and going. And with it came a lot of amazement to have gotten to the place where I did. In fact, that happens to me on every birthday now, especially the ones that have a zero in them. I am amazed that I have made it to this point. And I wonder sometimes exactly how I got here. Although every stage of life, like with my kids, has brought its own amazement and adventure, even if a few of them have also brought a few white hairs and a remarkably slower metabolism, I wouldn't trade them for the world. And I also would not prefer the alternative. And yet the topic of age, I find, it draws some pretty stark lines for most of us in this time and place. Now, it seems something that's already deeply embedded in us, in our frail human nature, that we tend to draw lines to include or to exclude, to make careful distinctions about who is this and who is that, who is in my group, who is outside of it, who can I trust, and who maybe not, who matters, and who maybe not. Experts say that we make these kinds of distinctions in the blink of an eye sometimes when we meet somebody new. And we talk a lot about inclusion and the need for inclusion. We create programs to try to make up for what our natural tendencies don't help us to do. And the very fact that we're having those conversations seems to prove the point that there are a lot of lines that we draw and a lot of ways that we divide ourselves. And one of those ways, one of the things that often gets talked about, are the number of years that we have lived past the date on our birth certificate. We tend to divide ourselves quite a bit and maybe even judge one another based on our age, and maybe with the assumptions that come along with that. Now, I was recently listening to a story that was on the news where a study had been done and a book had been written saying that the previous generation of kids was allowed to do a lot more things at a much younger age than many of us did when we were that age. Or rather, that today's children are allowed to do things at the age of maybe 10 or more that you and I might have done at 6 or 7. And so we have a new way of thinking about the youngest among us. We worry about them. Maybe, this report says, we tend to overprotect just a little bit. But then the flip side of that is true as well. When we live in a culture where we have an upcoming election and the question that gets asked again and again about our candidates is, are they too old? Is there an age? Is there such a thing that is too old? And I admit it, every single one of my birthdays, I ask that very question as well. We may ask it quite a bit, because we tend to divide ourselves by age. And what's more is that in our day and time, this seems a perfectly acceptable thing to do, right? We hear it all the time. It's very common in our day, except in one place where we are called to be very different from the world around us. And that is right here in the church. And so today, on this first Sunday following Easter, we are starting a new sermon series called Defining Church. Throughout this series, we're going to be looking at Scripture, looking at the stories of Jesus as he taught his disciples just after the resurrection, and the other places in our Scripture story when the people of God were called to be shaped in a new way, when they were reminded of all that they were called to be. And we're going to be talking about all that we are called to be and how we, in our own day and time, are meant to answer that call. Who are we supposed to be as the Christian church, as the body of Christ in our world? And we're going to talk about all that it means for us here in this place at Athens First United Methodist Church. And so today we're going to look at that question through this particular lens of a church that is defined by our generations. A church that is defined by our generations. Now, in the days after the resurrection, Jesus walked with his disciples and he taught them many things. And Jesus himself came out of a certain tradition. And this tradition, this story, is the story of the ancient Israelites, the story that is written in the Hebrew scriptures in our Bible that we have come to call the Old Testament, what Jesus would have referred to simply as Scripture. And he's teaching his disciples, and all that he's teaching them is born out of this tradition. And so this scripture passage today comes from this long story. Through the hundreds of years before Jesus began his ministry on earth, our text comes from that tradition that he drew from, and it comes in the midst of a really pivotal time in that story. In the time of the book of Isaiah, the Hebrew people had been settled and had long lived in what they had called the Promised Land, the land where God had drawn them and settled them, but they hadn't always been obedient to that God who brought them there. And so they became a conquered people, and they were taken into exile by Babylonian forces, and they lived in exile for over a generation until God liberated them and sent them home to rebuild. And our words in our scripture passage today come from that time as God is bringing the people home. As they are returning, the Lord spoke to them in the voice of the prophets. In these words, God is reminding them about who they are and who they are called to be. God is showing them once again the relationship that they are offered in the one who would be with them throughout their lives. He is bringing them back to the community, young and old, and giving them all a place and a purpose. He says, "Listen, listen to me, you who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb even to your old age, I am He. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. From the time that they are infants until they have many years behind them, they are reminded that God is with them and that they are not alone. And they are reminded, and we are reminded, that every stage is one that matters. Every stage is one with a purpose, and there is no part of our lives that are thrown away." Now, I had the chance to think about all of this just this past week. If you were here on Easter, then I'm sure you noticed all of the beautiful flowers that were in our sanctuary, all around our church, that were in the cross outside. Our whole place was alive with all of the beautiful flowers that were here. And I'm sure you can probably imagine that it took about an army to set this all up over the weekend, and I was blessed to have the chance to help out just in a small way with it. And I don't know much about flowers, so if you saw any that looked a little bit wonky, then they were probably my handiwork. But I had the opportunity to trim the leaves and the thorns off the roses. And as I was trimming these roses, I thought about my grandmother. And while I don't know a lot about flowers, my grandmother did. My grandmother grew roses. She grew beautiful roses, and her roses and other flowers from her garden would very often be the flowers on our altar in the church I attended when I was growing up. And she was very accomplished at it. And she would tell me about it, and I'm sure she would have loved to have taught me all about growing these roses. But I was a teenager at that time when my grandmother grew her rose garden in the house just down the street from ours. And like many teenagers, I didn't think that I had time for this thing that my grandmother was doing. I wasn't really all that interested. And now, of course, that I have reached a point in my life that I can look back on it all, I wish that things had been different. I wish that I had learned. I wish that I had learned a lot of things that I'm sure she would have loved to tell me, even more than just the roses. And I wish that I had heard if there were voices around me reminding me and encouraging me to listen to this wisdom, to learn from this knowledge before it's too late. I don't remember if there were many of those voices as I was growing up, but I realize now how much they are needed. There are not a lot of echoes in our culture today reminding us to hear the wisdom and the knowledge of those who have experienced a lot in life ahead of us, and maybe there should be more. Because age, age may just be a number, but nobody in our Bible was keeping that number a secret. In our scripture story, it is a great thing to live a long life. It was recognized and honored, and it was certainly no secret when Abraham, our patriarch, died at 175. Scripture happily told us about it. And when Joseph, his great-grandson, lived to 110, it was recorded for the ages. And when Noah lived to 950, and even Adam, who messed up the whole Garden of Eden thing for us, Adam lived to 930. And Scripture happily tells us these ages, because the people who recorded these lives and their stories in Scripture thought that being old was great. They thought that being old was a privilege, and that those who made it to advanced years were deeply blessed and deeply honored. Our God seems to think so too. We are instructed in the book of Leviticus, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God." So honoring God means to honor these in our lives with years and experience. And it makes me wonder if this is what God has been telling us since ancient times, why is it that so many of our grown-ups who have reached a certain age say that they feel invisible? Why does anyone feel unheard and unseen when we have this call of God on our lives? Why might young people think, I am too young, it's not my turn yet, while others feel like a lifetime of knowledge and experience has to go unheard and unshared? Why would people feel this way when this is not who we are called to be in the risen Christ? This is not our calling as Easter people. Because we serve a Savior who has said, "Let the little children come to me, for it is to such as these the kingdom of heaven belongs." We worship a God who reminds the apostles, "Let no one despise you because of your youth." We follow a God who has told us since ancient times that gray hair is a crown of splendor, and it is attained in the way of righteousness. There is no age that we can throw away. We need everyone. We need the gifts that each person brings at every stage and every number of years. And so here at Athens First, when I see our infants baptized, bearing witness to God's claim on our lives from the very beginning, when I see our children leading in worship in song as they wave their palm branches, when I see our seventh graders being confirmed, making their own decision of faith, as we're about to do in just 2 weeks, when I see our youth prepared to graduate and be launched into adulthood, and when I see our people of all ages, even those who may have some white in their hair, when I see them serving dinners to our community guests, visiting those who are ill or at home, teaching, learning, witnessing, and setting an example to the entire community of faith and beyond, I am reminded that this is what it means to be the church. This is what it means to be the people of the resurrection. This is who we are called to be. And so be the church. Be the church. Whatever your age or your stage, keep speaking out, keep listening, keep witnessing to the gift that we have in each other. Keep offering your experience, keep sharing your wisdom, keep serving, because the church needs you. The church needs your knowledge. The church needs your story. The church needs you right now, because this is what it means to be the church. Let us pray. Loving God, on this morning and every morning, remind us that wherever we are in our journey in life, we are yours and we are called. May we in every moment answer that call with all the gifts that you have given us, and in all the time that we have, may we answer and may we serve. For we pray all of this in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.